And now let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, what a delight it is as we approach Christmas and journey through Advent to come with our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ this night and sing the praises of your glory. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you that you have bid us come and worship you, that you have set the seal of the Holy Spirit upon us, that your hand of blessing is upon us, Father, that from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We come, Father, with hearts that thrill to celebrate the coming of the one who is Emmanuel, God with us, our Savior, our husband, our shepherd, and our friend, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as we come, Father, to worship you this night, we remember that at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, heralded by John the Baptist, the silence of 400 years was over for the people of God, and the voice of prophecy spoke again, and there was great expectation. And we come tonight, Father, with that same expectation in our hearts as we look forward to praising you for the Savior incarnate, crucified, and risen. The child in the manger who would go on to be our sin bearer, the once and for all sacrifice, who would cry Tetelestai from the cross, mission accomplished. And as the carol reminds us, we will see God and sinners reconciled. Oh, Father, we are thrilled to be here tonight. And as we remember that you are the God of abundant blessing, and we see so clearly at this time of year that in Christ Jesus, your promises are ever faithful and ever sure, so we remember, Father, that we have promised you much, and we failed to deliver. We have promised, Father, that we will serve you to the end. O Jesus, I have promised, we sing, to serve thee to the end. But in our broken and sinful lives, Father, we find excuses for our lack of service. We have promised, Father, that we will respond to your call through the prophet Jeremiah, who said, call to me and I will answer you. But Heavenly Father, we are slow to come to you in prayer. We are slow to stand on the promises of your word. We are slow to engage with the preaching of your word. We break promises to you, Father. We manipulate other people to get our own way. And we go into the world at times and make it easy for that world to dismiss the gospel for which we claim to stand. But we know, Father, that through that Savior who came as Bethlehem's child, and who went on as to be the ransom for our sins, we know, Father, that when we freely confess our sins to you, you will forgive us. And so tonight, Father, we pray that you would forgive what we have been, and change what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we will stand on the promises of your word and know that we are a people who have been ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. And Heavenly Father, hear us this night as we praise you for one another and for the encouragement that we are to one another, as we praise you, Father, for the gifts that you will employ at this service, as we praise you, Father, that we can get to the true meaning of Christmas and look beyond the materialism and the individualism and the commercialism and know peace with our God. Father, hear these our prayers as we offer them in Jesus' name, in whose words we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory for ever and ever.
Our Old Testament reading this evening is taken from the book of Micah, Micah chapter 5, and you'll find that on page 933 in the Pew Bible. Micah chapter 5, reading from verse 1. Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Thanks to God for his most gracious word.
The second reading this evening will be from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, which can be found on page 1179 of the Pew Bible. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Our third reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, found on page 965 of the Pew Bibles. The title is The Birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May God bless to us this reading from his word.
Heavenly Father, we praise you for this spirit of praise, the spirit of praise which we are privileged to be a part of, the worship, your word, Father, and we turn to your word now and pray that you would bless us with hearts that engage, in Jesus' name. Amen. Famous verses from Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, we read these words. "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" And if you want to have those words in front of you, please do so. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Some years ago, the British ambassador to Washington was rung up by an American that he met at a reception. He vaguely remembered meeting this American, and the American asked what he wanted for Christmas. Well, the ambassador was a little embarrassed. He'd only met this man once. He knew that he worked in newspapers, but he really didn't know him terribly well. And so the ambassador said, no, please don't bother. But this American insisted. He said, "But I'll be deeply disappointed if you don't tell me." The British ambassador said, "Okay then, if you insist, a box of crystallized fruit would be very nice." He thought no more of it. A few days later, he picked up a newspaper and it read, "At this time of goodwill, we asked the representatives of other nations what they wanted for Christmas. The French ambassador said that he hoped for progress towards world peace. The German ambassador hoped to see the relief of world poverty. And the British ambassador wanted some crystallized fruit." Well, I guess many of us, if we were asked that question, we would say that we would love to see world peace. We see wars, we see bitterness, we see hatred all around us. We think that if only people could see sense and work for peace, what an enormous difference it would make. And of course, Christmas is a time when people's thoughts always turn to peace. We are told that it is a time of peace and goodwill, a time of truces, a time of ceasefires, a time for burying the hatchet, a time for smiling at those relatives that we normally don't like, and so on. It's supposed to be a time of peace, but is it anything other than an empty charade? Does it really mean anything, or is it a ritual that we simply go through year after year after year, knowing that really there's not much in this at all? Well, the message of peace does lie right at the heart of the first Christmas day. And we need to remember the message of the angels that night: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. It was a message of peace. Who was that baby that was born? He was none other than the Prince of Peace. And tonight, I just want to say a few words about these verses. This is really an epilogue rather than a full sermon, a full exposition. And normally in an epilogue, one would just give a soundbite and not 3 points. But having been nicknamed 3-Point Ramsay, I've decided I'm going to rise to the bait tonight. I'm going to take the bait. And so what I want to do tonight is ask 3 questions about these verses and then answer those 3 questions. The first question is this one: what is this peace? The second is, how does this peace come to us? And the third is, who is this peace for? Or if you're a grammar geek like myself, for whom is this peace? So first of all, what is this peace? I'm just falling over the crib. What is this peace? Well, of course, it could mean peace between nations. After all, that is what many people want. We want to see people laying down their guns, defusing bombs. And what is particularly interesting is that at the time Jesus was born, it was what was known as the Pax Romana. Judea was experiencing a time of peace. The Roman people assured all those people, though they were the occupying forces, they were living in the empire that guaranteed peace. Judea, though occupied, was in a period of stability, unlike now. That area has been the focus of bitterness and hostility for many years now. The same is true of other parts of the world. Syria is foremost in many minds today. And we can only conclude that if the peace that Jesus brought was peace between the nations, then so far it hasn't worked. So surely it can't be in that sense that the angels meant peace. Well, maybe they meant peace between families. Maybe they meant harmony in the home. After all, there are those who would have us believe that if Christmas is not spent with family, it's not really Christmas at all. And some go as far as to make an idol of family life at Christmas time. But we don't have to go too far to meet people who are dreading Christmas because of the breakdown in their marriages or the breakdown in their families. I've seen people move to tears. They have been weeping over what has gone on in their families over the last year. And if you speak to someone who works for Relate, the marriage guidance people, they'll tell you that their workload is much heavier after the Christmas break than it is at any other time of year. Oh, yes, for some people it's a time of coming together. But for others, it simply highlights the divisions that are already there. And if Jesus came to bring peace within our families, then until now, that hasn't worked either. But the point is this, friends, that this was not the peace of which the angels spoke. It wasn't to be peace between nations, important though that is, or a peace within families, important though that is. The peace that these angels are talking about is a peace between us and God. It is our relationship with God that has been broken by our rebellion and our sin and our going our own ways. The Bible tells us that naturally we are enemies of God because we don't obey him, we don't listen to him. And the reality is that we are apart from him. We're cut off from him. And so it was to restore that relationship, to put us at peace with God, that Jesus came. And that is the peace of which these angels spoke. It is the peace that is above all peace, the greatest of all peaces, and it is the peace from which all peace should flow. peace with God. But secondly, I want to ask, how does this peace come? How is this peace established? Does God simply point his finger at the world and say, here is Jesus Christ, now you will have peace? What had to happen? Well, this is only a beginning. Because the peace spoken of by these angels would not be realized for another 30-odd years. The peace of which the angel spoke was only going to come about by the death of this child who was born then. And in an extraordinary way, it is only as the Lord Jesus Christ dies, bearing our sin, bearing our rebellion, and taking the punishment that we deserve, that peace between us and God can be re-established. We will never understand Christmas if we don't understand Easter and what Jesus did on the cross at Easter. I don't know if you've ever considered what we're doing here at Christmas. We are remembering the most momentous event in human history. We are remembering the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God took on human flesh and became one of us. But for that to make any real sense to us, folks, we have to remember his death. We will never understand why Jesus was born and the peace that he came to bring until we understand why Jesus died. Because it was as he died on the cross that he brought us the peace that we all can share, the peace about which these angels spoke. It was once said very, very cynically of the Reverend Ramsay B. Shields and the Reverend Fergus C. Buchanan that the problem with these two men is that they turn Christmas into Easter. Now, that person wasn't brave enough to say it to either of our faces. I don't think they'd have had the courage to say it to one of us, let alone both of us. But it was a very, very cynical statement to make. But you know something? Shields and Buchanan are quite unrepentant about that, because it is unavoidable. We will never understand why Jesus was born and the peace that he came to bring until we understand why Jesus died. Because it was then that this peace was procured. The peace of which these angels spoke. It's the peace that tells us that we're no longer guilty. It's the peace that tells us that we're no longer enemies of God, but friends with God. And that really is the wonderful thing about Christmas. It tells us that the Lord has not washed his hands of us, even though that's what I deserve. And tonight, I want you to remember that he has not given up on you. He loves us so much that he became one of us himself, and he died that we might be forgiven our sins, that we might know his peace, the peace that passes all understanding. I want to ask you tonight in your heart of hearts, isn't that what you need to hear more than anything else? Even if you were to pause and think over the last year, the things you've done, the words you've spoken, the people you've hurt, don't you honestly say to yourself, if only? If only there were some way that I could break free of that. If only you could find peace in your heart. You weren't constantly burdened down with guilt. Friends, that's precisely why the Lord Jesus came. To bring peace on earth. He came to bring peace between us and God that we might know his forgiveness. That is why he died. How does this peace come? It comes through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. But lastly, as we close, because I'm not three-point Ramsay for nothing, lastly, who is this peace for? Well, let's look at the verse again. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to men on whom, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Suggests that this peace isn't for everyone. It's available to everyone, but in some ways, tragically, it is not claimed by everyone. The second part suggests that there is a condition attached. Those on whom his favour rests. These are the people who, in a sense, want to know and experience the Lord's favour. Because God's peace, like all of God's gifts, have to be received by us. He won't force them on us. He'll never shove it down our throats. He will look for the response of our hearts. Listen to these words from John's Gospel. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But to all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who received him, to all who receive him today, folks, he grants forgiveness. He grants peace with God. And reconciliation are open to all of us, if only we'll receive them. It's an extraordinary thing. And the extraordinary thing about it is this, that as we experience God's forgiveness, and as we come to be at peace with him, so it will impact on every other area of our lives. It means we can have peace with one another. It means there can even be peace between the nations, because when we are reconciled to God, we are reconciled to one another. So often we will talk about peace, we'll talk about love, but so often it's empty if we can't live it out in our own lives. And the Bible tells us that until we know the love of God, until we have been reconciled to God, we will never really be able to live at peace and love with one another. And so, just as we close, when the angels came and said, on peace, on earth peace to men, on whom his favour rests, what they were saying was that all true peace stems from our relationship with God. In Jesus Christ, this little baby who was born over 2,000 years ago, there is a peace that passes all understanding, a reconciliation with our Creator God. And once we experience that peace, it will live out in other areas of our lives. That's a hope our world needs to hear. It's a peace our world needs to experience. It's one that we need to experience. Can I ask you, do you know that peace this night? Peace with God. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. Available for every single one of us here tonight. If only we will stretch out our hands and receive it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you so much for the wonder of your love for us. We praise you that you became one of us to live as one of us, to die that awful death so that we might know true peace with our Father in heaven. Hear our praises this night in your precious name. Amen. As a typical man, I'm not good at multitasking, so just watch out for a nosebleed. Let's pray. Our Father, we bring these, our gifts, to you this night, and we praise you for your goodness to us. Lord, we think of this world that craves peace, and we pray for the mission of the church, Father, as we share the good news of Christ and him crucified, and do so winsomely. We pray, Father, for our Christmas Eve services coming up and for the Water Aid Project. We pray for generosity in giving. And we pray, Lord, this Christmas for Fergus and for Gabrielle and for the man's family, that your hand would be upon them. And again, Father, that Fergus's health would be restored. We confess, Father, that we miss him. We miss his gift for preaching. We miss his pastoral sensitivity, Lord. We miss his ministry. And we pray that he would be restored to us soon. These things we pray In Jesus' name, Amen. Thanks again for coming along to our service. We're about to sing our closing hymn. You're invited after the service to go into the hall for coffee and an extended time of fellowship. Our closing hymn is number 304, O Little Town of Bethlehem, How Still We See You Lie. Go forth in peace. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of you this night, be with all whom you love, be with all for whom you have prayed, and be with you over this glorious, festive Christmas time. In Jesus' name.